pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And a good Monday morning to you. If you're out there in central Nebraska cruising around, you're probably replanting some crops, looking at some crop damage. A lot of it in the area, more this weekend. More storms on their way, but welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show.
No storms today, Daddy. It's going to be nice today.
Hopefully.
Wednesday, I think, the next mention of some precipitation.
So. I'm Tony Davis,
you're
Big Daddy.
You're I know. The eternal pessimist is not here today.
So. Yes, the eternal pessimist, Doug Duda, is out today. He's actually partaking in the Blue Gold Golf event going on at Metal Arc Hills or Kearney Country Club, depending on what golf course you were placed at to play today. It was a sold-out event, and Doug got an opportunity to play, so he's enjoying the day, and what a beautiful morning it is so far today. Hopefully the winds will stay down, and everybody can have a great day of golf. And
four!
Doug's out there. Yeah, a lot of four going on. probably going to be horse when he comes in. But speaking of horses, Triple Crown this weekend.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. What a downer, huh?
It was a downer because so many people had put so much stock and, you know, you believed Rick Dutroux and everything he said. You know, kind of he was so right on anything, and he comes out with it's a foregone conclusion that Big Brown will win the, you know, it's foregone conclusion. That's what he said. So I think,
and the morning of the race, Casino Drive, the one horse who is supposedly, other than Dennis of Cork, the one horse who's supposed to give Big Brown the run comes up with some kind of problem, has to pull out. So then even more, I mean, you're just thinking, oh, Big Brown's just going to blow this field to shreds.
Just destroy it. It's over. Give him the trophy. Visa puts up some money. It used to be $5 million. I think they still do that. Give him the check. Everybody can go on their way. Now, all of a sudden, Three Chimneys that put out $50 million supposedly for this horse. Will people want? I mean, is this obviously a very, very fine horse? But he joined the other 18 horses to become 19 that have won the Kentucky Derby. They have won the Preakness and have not been able to. He could not join that elite group of 11 Triple Crown winners. And the biggest gap, I believe this is the biggest gap since 1948 to 73. I believe that was like a 25-year drought. 48 to 73, yes, I've got that right here. That was the biggest drought in the Triple Crown winners, and that was between Citation in 48 and Secretariat, of course, in 73. Just did not have, you know, he became the first horse to win out of the 20 hole in the Kentucky Derby. And you had to go back to 1929 when he joined Clyde Van Dusen as the only modern era horses to succeed from the post position number 20. Now, they're considering 1929 modern era. I would consider that very unmodern era.
Yeah, same here.
What if you've got a bunch of buddies and you're at Fauner Park? You're at Horseman's Park. You're at a place that you can wager on this Triple Crown. Your buddies look around. One of you says, what if he doesn't run today? Let's throw him out and box the rest. Because the odds were so, so monstrous on everything else. You throw him out and you say, okay, we're just, you know what? We're going to bet a superfecta. We don't have to handicap because really nobody thought any of the other horses belonged anyway. It doesn't happen. I mean, we've waited 30 years now before a Triple Crown winner. It hasn't happened since then. So you say, sir, could I have a $1 superfecta ticket? All, you throw out Big Brown. So in essence, you've got 8 times 7 times 6 times 5. I believe if I did the math correctly on Saturday after the race, that would have been a $1,680 ticket.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
Now, I believe with the dead heat, if you're out there and you happen to know this and can confirm or deny this, 1-888-455-3776, we'd love to hear from you. I believe if you would have thrown Big Brown out, boxed the rest of those horses, since there was a dead heat for third and fourth, I believe your ticket would have became a $2 ticket. Because you would have had, I believe, the 5 with 4 with 8 with 7, and then you would have had another ticket with 5 with 4 with 7 with 8. So I think it becomes a $2 ticket. That superfecta, I believe, would have paid you, yes, $48,637.
But yesterday before the race, if you go up to anyone who's privy to any kind of horse racing information and say, I'm going to make a wager that Big Brown isn't not even in this thing. People would have smacked you in the face and called you silly.
Now, buddies,
this was a foregone conclusion that he was going to win, especially after the fact that Casino Drive pulled out. And then you get a 38 to 1 horse in Datara that goes wire to wire.
Wire to wire, yeah.
Wire to wire.
Wire to wire on a mile and a half
Unbelievable.
Track.
Nick Zito trained horse, too, nonetheless.
Well, Nick Zito's the one that ruined it the last time with Birdstone.
He's a dream killer, man. He's like Reggie Miller to the Knicks. I mean, Nick Zito is literally a Triple Crown dream killer.
$79 to win on Datara, and here we go for horse racing, a build-up, 95,000 people in New York. 96 degrees, though.
Yeah, hot.
Hot, hot, and humid. I had a buddy who went down to Fauna Park, and James Valdez is his name from Grand Island. Big James, probably cruising around in a Coors truck right now, doing a good job for those guys. But I said, James, when you go down there, just give me a $2 win ticket on Big Brown, because I thought, you know, this is a year. And he obviously wouldn't cash the ticket when he wins. Just have something, you know, to kind of remember that. But I'm sure James got it now. Yeah, so he'd take my $2. I can't find that ticket right now. So, yeah, whatever, James. But, no, just kidding there. But, $2, how many people out there, all the place and show money. The place and show money. Dennis of Cork, a horse, finishes second. A lot of people thought him and Ichabod Crane were really the only two horses in this field. And now people are wondering, is the horse hurt? Did they run him? I got to think, Kent DeSormo saying, here's Kent DeSormo saying, there's no pop tires. He's just out of gas. You know, he wasn't ready to go. They had to take 3 days of training out. You got to remember, these aren't 6- and 7-year-old horses that have become, you know, acclimated and made the way around the circuit, the spring and fall circuit or the summer winter circuit, however you want to say it. These are still young 3-year-olds learning their way around the horse track in 3 days. I guess can make a monster, especially when you're nursing an injury. And
you talk about the heat, you talk about the injury. I've heard several different reports from several different so-called experts around the horse racing circles, all over the radio, all over TV, about what could have happened. Could he had some bleeding in his lungs from? Could he not had a breathing problem coming down the stretch? Did he get kicked into the first turn? Well, with all these variables, Daddy, I ask you this: In the modern era, are we going to have a Triple Crown winner? Are we 5 weeks, 3 really tough races, and we saw this horse was supposed to be the upper echelon of what? I mean, this horse is just going to come out here and just tear the field to shreds, and it ends last, finishes last, doesn't even finish.
Well, they just pulled him.
They eased him
at the end. And now, one of the most famous, I think if you're casual horse racing, you know, you might say Todd Pletcher, because he's won the Eclipse Awards. But back in the day when, I don't know back in the day, but Dwayne Lucas, Nick Zito. I think those two names, as far as horse racing goes, if you said Dwayne Lucas or Nick Zito, who are these men? Boom. I think the majority of sports fans would say, you know, they're horse trainers or involved in the horse racing industry in some way. And I think those are two very, very well-known names. Now, Dwayne Lucas is proposing a format which alters a Triple Crown. He wants to shorten the Derby and Belmont while providing 3 weeks instead of two between the Derby and the Preakness.
But that's taken away.
That's taking away the luster.
It is. It's taking away the luster of the entire competition. It's been this way. And it's been this way for how many years, you know? And this is you're exactly right, Daddy. This is what adds the tradition to the Triple Crown. Once you start changing stuff, then you got people coming in, well, this you got a Triple Crown winner now, but it's not a real Triple Crown winner because it didn't run in the conditions as all the other horses. And you get that kind of stuff. And in this day of bigger fields, you got more horses are better kept for because of the big money dollars that you can get after you stud them out when they're done with their careers and things like that. Daddy, I see it becoming extremely difficult for a horse to win the Triple Crown, especially if Big Brown can't do it.
Well, it's not about taking Mrs. Horse to Mr. Horse in a pasture. The breeding's getting awfully, awfully complicated already. And you bring up, will there ever be another Triple Crown winner? You've certainly got to wonder, as dominant as Big Brown was, as dominant as this horse was, you look back when he won that Florida Derby. He won that Florida Derby from the outside. No one had ever done that. He absolutely blows away the field. It, you know, I believe he had five starts heading into this, and he won by 38 lengths. It's something that's pretty staggering when you're looking at horse racing, especially when you're looking at this animal compared to the rest of the greatest animals of his age group this year. He's literally smoked the field in those five races before this. Now, obviously, did not have what it takes, and that's what makes it so special, being in the winner's circle and being presented to sit alongside of other great horses. And you mentioned the Secretariat, and those are the observations in which people, that's what people want. They want to put you in that same group, but you've got to do it, and it's a grueling task. And they talk about the track being deeper, more cushiony. And horses don't like certain surfaces. And if you're around horse racing much, and that's what makes horse racing the game it is.
But if you're a champion, horse, you overcome conditions like that. You might not win by 38 lengths, whatever the incredible, you know, whatever. You might not blow away the field, but you better get out there and you better win by a head or by some. I mean, I didn't call it. I didn't see this coming. No one saw this coming, but with all the hype building up into this weekend and even the weeks before all the Triple Crown talk, I think this is one of the monumental choke jobs in horse racing. It really is. And you can't point at the horse and say, oh, you choked. It's a horse. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, this is one of the biggest letdowns in horse racing history. It's got to be. Got to be.
Well, we've had the build-up lately.
There's too much hype. Overhyped. I mean, and obviously, the horse warranted it because look at it. Look at the pedigree. Look at everything the horse has done. Look at the races it's won and how it's won them. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You think what Eight Bells in going down after the Derby prompted DeSormo to pull that horse up?
You know,
I'm not going to let that. I mean. And for all intents and purposes, nothing's wrong with the animal, because they're looking.
Oh, they're looking.
They're looking for something to say.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know. Now they didn't give the horse his monthly wind stroll, which is I don't know if it's a steroid in essence or it's maybe something that reduces bleeding in the. I'm not privy to what wind stroll does, because he was doing so well. Would the shot have made any difference?
You know, I don't know. And I don't know if eight bells necessarily, that horse factored into Ken DeSormo's mind there, but you have to think that he was thinking of protecting the horse. I mean, first and foremost, as a jockey, you don't want to run that horse into the ground. And he obviously, he said he knew the horse was running out of gas, so he eased him coming into the turn, and that was that. I mean, obviously, as a jockey, you have a bit of your job is to protect the horse, and I think he was doing just that.
Yeah, when you're not going. Well, he wasn't going to finish in the money. There was no. I mean,
he would have had to. Wow, that horse would have had to really tear down the stretch to to catch anybody there.
I mean, granted, there was $1 million purse out there, and I believe fifth place, yes, got $30,000. So when you won $2.7 million already, $30,000 is not, let's hurry him up there and get fifth. That wasn't going to prove any, you know, it wasn't going to do anything for the betterment of horse racing or whatever. Eased him up, took him to the barn. It's one of those things. I
was completely baffled at the end of the race, Daddy. They kept showing me he might have gotten kicked going into that first turn when they kind of got a little tense in there, and that when the horses in front of him started to slow up, he had to brake a little bit. Maybe that caused him a little, you know, messed his tempo up, or I'm not sure. But at the end of the race, I was completely baffled. I sat there just staring at the screen for a bit. I didn't have any money or anything riding on this, but I just sat there thinking, I wanted to witness history here, and now nothing. A horrible letdown.
But he was stocking about halfway through the, you know, it just looked like.
And it's a long race, so.
And it's a long race, so you thought. DeSormo's going to let him go?
And the call you just heard of is like, ah, Big Brown still in third. And I'm just thinking, you got to make a move, still in third. And then with about 5 furlongs left, he's still in third. And then gets eased from there.
Nothing. He just couldn't.
Unbelievable. Right there is where the race is really supposed to start. I mean.
He's supposed to let him go, right. Just like we saw in the Derby, just like you saw in the Preakness.
Didn't see it.
And he moves around. Now, you can argue about the one post position. That's, you know, that's a random draw. That wasn't anybody a conspiracy against Big Brown to put him in the 20th hole in the Derby, to put him in the one hole in the Belmont. You know, I believe he came out 7 hole in the Preakness. Mm-hmm. That's a random deal. They're not. You know, if you want to compromise horse racing and you'd like to see one happen in your heads, I think you would give the horse that's going for that maybe his choice, being the favorite. But it doesn't work like that in horse racing. So
have you seen a number on potentially what Big Brown would have been worth had he won the Triple Crown to what he's worth basically now, as far as where he goes from here, maybe becoming a stud horse and you know, obviously selling his genes is what you're doing there. But so how much value does he lose from not winning the Triple Crown here?
Well, the $50 million. See, many people at this time would take the horse to Three Chimneys Farm and let him basically eat grass that's grown 3 foot tall and. You know, the rest of your life,
right, and just
well, this is all systems go. This is. I mean, they're looking at the Traverse Stakes. They're looking at the Breeders. I mean, they're going to race. It's not like you're not going to see Big Brown for what they tell you right now. You know, could the $50 million? And I would assume something was built into the contract that we figure that $50 million is a safe investment on what we can get back over the next 10 years. And I'm sure they got insurance. You know, something tragic would happen to the animal, but if you would have won, I've got to think that there was another stipulation in the contract to say, "Here's an extra. You know what? We're going to pony up the extra money for the horse and get." But
wow,
obviously,
everybody reeling in the Big Brown camp. That's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people wondering what exactly happened, and I think it was a sick feeling because I think a lot of people were excited. For this. Derek, let's take a short break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'd love to hear from you. 1-888-455-3776. Doug is out today playing in the Blue Gold Golf event going on at Metal Ark Hills and the Kearney Country Club. Derek and I, man on the ship, will be back with more, a little bit of NBA talk, and we'll talk about Cedric Benson. Disappointing weekend for Cedric.
What are you doing?
But we'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
Would you take a look at that? Never in the history of Eagle Crest have we had this many campers. Never. The lot is loaded. No, it's overloaded with nearly all the famous camper names you've come to expect at Eagle Crest. And then add to that our new lines, Cameo and Cruiser. You're getting the idea. It's time to go camping at Eagle Crest. From pop-ups to high-end fifth wheels. Over 40 models of campers. Where? On West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions, such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Walter, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelki Heating and Air today.
Does your men's softball team have what it takes to win $1,000 cash? That's the top prize in the Sun Heat Men's Softball Tournament in Lincoln, Saturday, June 21st. Only 10 slots left. Registration deadline, June 18th. Register by emailing Josh at sunheat.com, calling 308-382-8137, or go to sunheat.com for more information. Sun Heat, the folks who slash your utility bills with their amazing infrared zone heating. And don't forget, register for that $1,000 prize in the Sun Heat Softball Tournament no later than June 18th.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop across the area through the day today as we'll reach up around 80 for a high with a west wind from 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, skies will turn partly cloudy. We'll fall back to around 58 on the way to 87 for a high Tuesday. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 68.
We're back. Doug and Daddy show kicking in the noon hour here. Senator Baskin's ESPN Radio Superstation. Derek, a lot more talk about this big Brown deal. You'll hear it all day long on ESPN Radio, but we're going to probably get into a lot more talk here because in about a month and 2-3 weeks, and you will be getting married.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming up pretty quick here in late July.
So. You like each other right now?
We like each other. Things are good. Things are great. No complaints yet. So I'll
look forward to that changing about July 27th. Now
Daddy has been offering me a little nugget of marriage advice every day as I get closer to my wedding date. And of the couple of little nuggets of advice that I've gotten from him so far, I'm legitimately scared, terrified. Frightened.
Oh, there's no need, you know. Except, see, women think that all men lie, but then you get married and you find out that there's little subtle lies that, you know, like, we won't try and change you. Oh yes, they will. Oh yes. Now you and your fiance, if you will, you guys, you watch movies. I mean, you're. Yes. Big moviegoers, yes. and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, big movie fans.
Big movie fans, and it's something you guys do together. Now, me and my wife lately, within the last 3 months, my wife likes Jeopardy.
Oh, I love Jeopardy.
Since TiVo came on.
We're big Jeopardy fans.
It's pretty simple to hit the button, and every Jeopardy is recorded. So, I mean, obviously, there's strengths and weaknesses. Obviously, the sports categories, I seem to be pretty good.
Nice. Anything else? You're just not in any other category?
You know, it's like this golfer is closing in on Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors, and, like, none of the three on Jeopardy know the answer. On Tiger Woods, I think. Pretty sure.
Daddy's real good at the sports categories. Let's see what else.
Food categories.
Food categories. Nice. And then,
actually, a little world geography as far as. But that's
home economics?
No.
Shampoos and conditioners?
No. Not. But there's strengths and weaknesses to everybody's game. But my wife, like geography, yeah, just out is kind of bizarre because my wife likes to guess. A lot of questions, and it's like, she proclaims champion of the world.
But you lose points if you miss it.
That's my point.
Yeah,
and she proclaims to be champion of the world, and like, goes, she takes a lap around the circle, you know, with like, number one, she's chanting, I'm number one at Jeopardy.
She's got the reef, she's pouring the milk over her head, yeah!
She likes to do that, but she guesses a lot of wrong answers, and so, like, world geography, a question could be like, which Canadian territory raises more wheat than all of South, you know what I mean, something like that. And she'll be like, Colombia? And I'll look at her and she'll be like, what, Brazil? Like, Canadian Providence.
It's, wow.
But I mean, that's just not her, but she still likes to guess at it. It's like, you know, what's
so you got to get a scoring. You got to get some kind of method of keeping track of the score here.
Just,
you know, even if it's just plus ones and minus ones.
It's,
you know,
kind of rapid fire. You know what? You know, like you can say what East Coast city? She's like Salt Lake City. No, babe. No.
I hope your wife doesn't listen, Daddy.
No, she doesn't.
Oh no, she didn't, trust me, she doesn't listen. No way.
But
why would she do that?
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, that's. So, but she's got very strong categories. All of the entertainment, you know, questions and the, like music and stuff. She's excellent at that. And I, nowhere.
Very good with the European trivia, personally.
And like, so, yeah, of course you would be. Earlier, before the show today, you were actually telling me about there's some soccer highlights on.
Oh yeah.
And Derek's, you grew up playing soccer, so you actually enjoy the sport and yes. are a fan of the sport, where many of us
despise it. Yeah,
well,
you can go ahead and say it.
I don't, you know, just don't really understand or why the we don't understand. And I think this is general. There are a lot of people around here have kids that grew up playing soccer, and then you know, obviously Kearney High's had a very successful soccer team, and we like Scott Steinbrook up there, and we have fun with soccer from time to time, but we just don't. Well. Europeans don't understand how we're so enthralled with football.
That's correct. And when you look at I'll tell you why. Right now, it's the European, the UEFA Euro Championship right now, which is all of the international teams from Europe are all playing each other to see who's the European champion, basically.
But the teams on, like, Chelsea, are those players from all over?
Those are players from all over, yeah.
Now they go home to their home. I mean, more of an correct. Olympics deal for
it's the
Europe.
Equivalent of, like, you know, the all the teams in the separate leagues in Germany, or in Europe, like in Germany, Italy, England. It's like the NBA, where you got Yao Ming playing for the Rockets, but when the national team plays, he plays for China. So Chelsea, you mentioned, has a guy, a Drogba, I believe is his name, and he's from Ivory Coast down in Africa. So when they play for the World Cup, he goes and plays for Ivory Coast. So, yeah, and it's all the national teams. But what makes this huge, Daddy, is obviously soccer, the biggest sport in the world, you know, obviously outside of the United States. And when you look at Europe, you're talking about centuries and centuries of rivalry between countries, not just in soccer, but in countries in general. And you're talking about England versus France, Germany versus France, England versus Germany. I mean,
who does Germany, you grew up in Germany, who does Germany not, I mean, was there, when in soccer, do you?
England.
England. You do not, you mean?
No. And the English hooligans come to Germany and just, they tore Munich to shreds, caused a lot of damage in Munich a few years back when the World Cup was in Germany. It's, that's quite the rivalry there. And then you got England and France gets heated, and Germany and France gets heated as well, obviously. But basically anybody even when Germany plays like Croatia, I mean, that can get pretty heated as well. But you're talking about big, big country rivalries, you know, and then the soccer is a small way of playing out those big rivalries. And not only do the people just love soccer, but they love to get behind their national teams, period, over there.
So obviously from the outside looking at that, I would have to say that England, France, and Germany, because of the population basis, would have the best teams. Is that?
Yes.
Is that?
Absolutely. Italy as well.
Italy
has a great team. Spain has a great team. Portugal has a surprisingly good team. They have a lot of great skill players, do a lot of, can pass the ball very well, very good ball control and that kind of stuff. But a lot of those teams are really good, Daddy. I mean, all the way across the board. You mentioned the powerhouses in Germany, England, and France. Spain, Italy can be thrown in there as well, maybe Portugal. But teams like Croatia, teams like Denmark, teams like that aren't slouches either. I don't even think Denmark qualified for this, actually.
But you're going, and you told me earlier that a penalty kick, I said, why don't they make, I mean, put the guy back another 5 yards, because it seems like it's 0-0. Oh, the excitement of that. I see that as something we don't understand. It's 0-0, and then all of a sudden, somebody intentionally gets tripped, is that how you get a penalty?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it doesn't necessarily have to be intentional. I mean, if you foul a guy inside the 16-meter box, which is the large box around it, you have the 11-meter box, which is just for that smaller box in front of the goalie, and then you have the much bigger 16-meter box. Any foul inside there, and you'll get a penalty kick. And the fouls, I mean, it's kind of like the NBA. The official ref interprets what a foul is, obviously. And if you intentionally foul someone in a soccer game, you're going to get a yellow card. It's possibly a red right off the bat, but a second intentional foul after a first one will definitely earn you a yellow red, and you'll be thrown out of the game. I know this from personal experience. So I played some soccer overseas and had to play a little physical because I couldn't really keep up with a lot of the smaller guys. So that's how you basically roll there. But anytime you intentionally foul someone on the soccer pitch, you're probably in trouble.
But it looks like to me these penalty kicks.
Oh yeah, there
is like fish barrel bang. Is it that easy or not?
Now, did you see the penalty kicks for the UEFA Champions League a while back?
Well, the guy slips on the wet turf.
He did slip on the wet turf, but it's all part of the mystique behind the penalty kicks. Obviously, the goalie kind of has to choose one way or another to go. You kind of have to choose top or bottom when you dive. Sometimes the guy shoots it right down the middle, so maybe you want to kind of hold back a little bit when you're diving. But basically, as a goaltender, you just want to get as big as possible, get your arms out there, and just try to punch the ball away. Never try to catch it, by the way, on a penalty kick. You never try to catch it. You always try to punch it away or just bat it out of there because there's no chance you're going to catch a ball coming at you that fast. But you just mentioned, well, the guy can just dive to one side or the other, and then you just got to aim for the top corner. Yeah, you got to aim for the top corner. It's a lot harder to put it there than it seems, though.
Okay.
Quite difficult.
Well,
not really difficult to put it in the goal, but if you want to try to put it right in the top corner, right in the other top corner, that's kind of.
And I'm seeing these penalty kicks, and it seems like the goalie does normally dive left or right, and I'm thinking, well, don't you just straight on whack the thing about as hard as you can right in the middle of the net? And I mean,
and people do it. You do see, well, it's quite common that somebody will just jam one right down the middle, but sometimes that goalie will kind of make a half dive and he'll still get a hand back there, or he'll get a foot up or something like that that can get it out of the way. Your best 100% shot is right into one of the top corners. So no goalie is going to get there quick enough to get a ball out of the top corner. So if you can put it there, you're going to have a goal from a penalty kick, no problem. The problem is, you're trying to put it that close, you can easily kick it to the side of the goal or hit the post, and it's out of there.
Okay, so it's soccer undoubtedly in Europe.
Soccer undoubtedly. Basketball's starting to catch on with the emergence of guys like Dirk Nowitzki, guys coming from overseas, not necessarily Europe, but even Manu Ginobili, guys from South America. That's kind of gotten the world abuzz with basketball. That's starting to get up there, but nowhere near soccer. Soccer is by far the world sport.
See, David Stern actually, obviously with the finals going on, getting a lot of attention directed at him, and people wondering if there's a potential European invasion by the NBA or expansion, however you want to call it. You know, and obviously you look at Barcelona, where the Olympics were held, London, you know, as being possible places. Are people that into it over there? I mean, would you sell out like the NBA? I mean, people around here don't understand the NBA even. I mean, they say, the Nuggets, well, there's some crazy Nuggets fans. There's people that live for the Nuggets. There's people that live for, you know, the Cavaliers, LeBron.
Obviously, there's some pricing issues and everything like that. How much would they charge for tickets? What kind of a venue would they put it in? All that kind of stuff. But just taking an objective glance at it, I think that they could do pretty well. The NBA could do pretty well in Germany, especially if they, in Europe, if they make an effort to spotlight the stars from Europe. If you're in Germany, spotlight Dirk Nowitzki. Bring back old clips of Detlef Schrempf when he was playing with the Sonics. You know, you push stuff like that, because I tell you what, man, Europe, and that's half of the soccer thing as well, is very nationalistic. The country is very nationalistic, a lot of national pride, and anytime you got somebody like Dirk Nowitzki, I can guarantee you'll about fill out an NBA arena over there if you have Dirk playing.
But they want to follow those marquee players.
Absolutely.
And that's what.
Absolutely. But I tell you what, there's a lot of my friends back when I was younger, growing up in Germany, I played basketball quite a bit. I played basketball through high school and everything too, and a lot of my German friends were into basketball. They loved the NBA, and I mean, Michael Jordan, actually a buddy of mine was loved the Jazz, loved Stockton and Malone, the pick and roll, you know. I mean, guys like that can make just the big names. You know, if you can market the big names overseas, especially guys like Dirk Nowitzki to their country, the NBA would do great.
But see, you've got so many logistical things, like how many games, you know. You got to send, obviously, the American teams have to go there and play.
That's
They've got
a lot
to come.
Of travel.
Do those teams have to come here for a month at a time and then go home? And you've got to rotate teams in and out. And the wear and tear already of an 82-game schedule, physically and mentally both. I mean, say what you want about baseball's 162. The physical pounding that your legs, your knees, everybody's got a rolled ankle. Everybody's got a strained hip flexor by game 40, 41.
Yeah,
you're halfway home.
And I'm not sure. You're right, Daddy. The logistics there are just, I mean, they're almost mind-boggling trying to set something like that up. But David Stern has shown that he wants to make an effort to make the NBA worldwide. They already have NBA offices throughout China. You got NBA offices in Europe already, and the scouts already travel the world looking for new NBA talent. Obviously, when you got guys coming like Yao, like Manu, like Dirk, all of these, you know, even Barbosa, guys like
Tony
that from
Parker.
Brazil, Tony Parker from France. I mean, you got all these international players now, so obviously the game is expanding, but and we're going to see it. I believe we're going to see David Stern move, get some games going overseas, much like the NFL has done. But, wow, is that going to – I'm not so sure the players are going to enjoy
see,
that too much.
I think these figures are correct, and I have them. No, there's nowhere in front of me, so I have no way to check this right now. But I believe when David Stern was hired as commissioner, the NBA merchandise, I want to say, was something like $85 million a year worldwide. I mean, I think that's – ballpark. It is now a $1 billion industry. So I think there's pressure there to say, hey, we got to give these people what they want, and that's teams over there. But we'll have to wait and see on this. Derek, we got to take another break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. 1-888-455-3776. Or shoot us an email anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be back with more right after this break on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You can go psycho. You can hurt yourself or someone else.
I don't know. I think a man could get used to this. Grow to love it.
Careful out there. Doug and Daddy will be right back.
John Coward here to talk about a situation I think you'll recognize. Day of the game, seven buddies, barbecue at your house, looking for a ride to the tailgate party. Thanks to the new Honda Pilot, you'll be prepared for almost anything. 8-passenger seating and increased storage capacity, you pack up the crew and go. With an available Navi system, you get to the game. And with an available top-shelf DVD rear entertainment system, you're the star of the day. The Honda Pilot is like a 5-tool baseball player with the capability to play almost every position.
Go to pilot.honda.com for more information.
Say you're looking for the perfect Father's Day gift. You could go with a beard trimmer or a tool set, but is that really a gift for the man whose mastery of the grill was second to none, who opened your eyes to the power of duct tape, who conserved central heating like bread in a famine and cemented his status as the guru of guidance? No, give him the new TomTom Go. With its exclusive IQ Routes technology, it's the only GPS that uses actual drive times to find you the fastest route. The perfect gift for the original maestro of the shortcut. TomTom. Go confidently.
EGP Corn Processing has an immediate opening for a full-time truck driver on the night shift. The candidate must have a current CDL and meet with all DOT requirements. Job responsibilities will include loading coal at Hastings Utilities and unloading at AGP Hastings CFB Station. Driver will be responsible for about 10 loads per day. 12-hour shift, schedule 6 p.m. to 8 a.m., every other weekend off. The job will pay $11.85 per hour. And benefits include medical, pension, and 401k. Interested individuals should apply at the Nebraska Job Service in Hastings, or for more information, call 460-4458. That's 402-460-4458. 402-460-4458. Selected candidates will need to successfully complete a physical, drug screening, and background check. Once again, apply at the Nebraska Job Service in Hastings, or for information, call 402-460-4458. AGP is an equal opportunity employer.
You know something? There are a lot of books out there about self-help and ways to deal with stress. So many that it's almost stressful just choosing one. So why not skip the bookstore altogether and put your $20 towards something that'll actually work? Something titled, A Fishing License. You see, a fishing license will get you off the old couch and on the water, where you can be at peace with yourself and the world. With nothing but a fishing rod in hand, a well-stocked cooler, and maybe a buddy or two in your boat. In a place like that, it's easy to clear your mind and just be yourself, while the ever-lurking possibility of excitement lingers on the end of your line. That, my friend, is all the self-help you'll ever need. Get your Nebraska fishing license today. It could be just the kind of escape you're looking for. To find out more about how to get started in boating and fishing, visit ne.takemefishing.org.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies will develop across the area through the day today as we'll reach up around 80 for a high with a west wind from 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, skies will turn partly cloudy. We'll fall back to around 58 on the way to 87 for a high Tuesday. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 68.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Beautiful Monday morning in the Tri-Cities. No precipitation in the forecast until Wednesday. You gotta love that. Gotta love it. Chance for you to get out, do stuff, and tell you what, when you're out doing stuff, you get hungry. You gotta go somewhere and eat. Head to the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney, downtown Grand Island. You can check out all the Major League Baseball you want. Coop has all the games all season long. You can grab one of the great Coop burgers. They're 7-ounce ground chuck, onion seasoned patties topped with lettuce, tomato, and pickle on a toasted Kaiser bun. You can try any of their great sides. They got fries, potato salad, coleslaw, all that kind of stuff. You can try the balls of cheese, which are, of course, Daddy's favorite.
Pub pickles.
Pub pickles, too. Garlic, shrooms, onion rings, cheese pleasers, breaded cauliflower. They got all the great food that you want while you watch all the great games. You can also play some Keno while you're at it over at the Chicken Coop as well. 8 new 42-inch flat screens. A great place to eat. Downtown Kearney, downtown Grand Island. It's the Chicken Coop. Check them out.
Derek, obviously a lot of attention last night focused on the Lakers and Celtics game, too, which Boston had in hand and really just dominated until about 3 minutes left.
And they tried to give it away. Unbelievable. How does that happen?
Just ridiculous how, you know, Boston hit everything early, and then a 12-foot wide-open jump shot would go down and flip out, and the Lakers couldn't miss towards the end. But Boston gets game two. Now all of a sudden, the Lakers, that were favored so heavily, get this. What as Boston's really physically outmatched them, I mean, the physical style of play, LA's a finesse team. I think Gasol doesn't want to bang with anybody.
Not at all.
I think you're going to get pushed and shoved around. Leon Poe is coming into his own right. If you didn't see the story about Leon last night at halftime, grew up in Oakland. Mother raised him along with six other siblings. Their house burned down, lived in cars, lived in motels, moved over 20 places,
wow.
Was placed with the foster family. Incredible, incredible story about perseverance and doing some things. His mom actually was arrested for shoplifting groceries and sentenced to 90 days in jail, and that's when the foster care or foster system took effect, and he met a mentor and became a father figure to him. Excellent, excellent story. If you can look that up, maybe they posted that on YouTube because it is an unbelievable and great story. Really inspirational how this young man turned it around, became one of the best players in prep wise in California, and went on to some great things. And great for him. 21 points last night. If you just said Leon Poe, I guess I would have said Boston Celtic. You know, I've heard of him throughout the playoffs. If you'd have told me that 3 months ago, no idea who Leon Poe was.
Man, you said that 21 points in 15 minutes. That's efficiency on the basketball court right there.
Well, just took over at times. And
have you noticed that things seem to come to the Celtics a little easier than the Lakers? The Lakers have been, obviously they have Kobe and things like that, but they have to work for their shots, even working out of that triangle a little more than Boston does. Things just seem to come to Boston a little easier in this series. Well, maybe that's because they've been at Boston the first two games, but I don't know what to take away from that.
But you talk about the passing, and everybody said, Gasol. the Celtics pass about as well as anybody.
Gasol has looked a step slow, especially in game one, but he had a decent game too, but he's looked a step slow a little bit this series. So,
did you know there's a reason that the media members and officials could have looked a step slow?
Oh, wow.
Did you know this?
Why is that?
Well, they were staying at the Intercontinental Hotel in Boston, okay? That happened to be the media hotel. That happened to be where the NBA put the officials up. Everyone received a message during their stay warning about the outside stench resulting from a nearby lobster warehouse fire. 60,000 pounds of lobster were lost in the James Hook and Company warehouse at Atlantic.
What's the market value on 60,000 pounds of lobster?
Nothing when they're burnt. It took more than 135 firefighters, a scuba team, a Massachusetts Port Authority fireboat to douse the 7-alarm fire, reported. That was actually a week ago, but...
Unbelievable. And you mentioned the officials, and I guess we better touch on the officiating a little bit as well. Phil Jackson not happy with the officiating. Lopsided free throw numbers for Boston, not a lot of calls for L.A. Isn't that kind of the home court advantage in the NBA? Isn't that kind of what we've come to expect at this point?
But it seemed like Boston's the aggressor. They're the ones drawing contact. Where that's what you saw, you know, when L.A. was getting those calls and the Spurs weren't happy about it. Well, it seems to be the aggressive person gets those calls. True. And the Lakers have been, I don't know if you say passive, but they have not been taking it to the rack.
They've struggled with the physicality, I think, of the Celtics. And Garnett, I guess Gasol needs to stay away from Garnett. That he cannot guard Garnett. That's a bad matchup for Gasol.
It is a bad matchup for Gasol. I think there's a lot of bad matchups out there. And Paul Pierce, say what you want about his injury. But... He's a monster.
Boy, he's been getting bashed about that. But yeah, he's playing well though. Absolutely.
It's just, what are you doing? And interestingly enough, you're a big poker fan. Lakers owner Jerry Buss entered a $10,000 7-card stud tournament in Vegas on Saturday, the day before his team played the Celtics.
Some of the top poker pros in Vegas say that Jerry Buss, one of the best 7-card stud players in the world. And well, he's got the money to play, obviously.
$10,000 buy-in wasn't much for Jerry.
That's like he eats that for breakfast, I'm sure.
Well, just they head to Game 3. Interesting to note, and it looks to me the first two games, and they were close. Okay, the Game 1 was close. It came down, but Boston at times have been able to turn it on. And other than the last 3 minutes, that game was 20 points last night. Do you believe that the Lakers are 9 or 10 point favorites at home?
Unbelievable.
9 or 10 point favorites.
Does that look like a sucker bet? Or...
Boston handled them twice during the year. They're 4-0 against them now. They won the first two by 32 points combined. Now they're up 2-0. The series odds have shifted. Now Boston a 180 favorite to win the series. L.A. plus 160. So
can you handle this? I got to go to the bank and get some money. I got to go do some business right quick with those numbers.
Well, why don't you?
Holy cow!
Why don't we go to a quick break and we'll wrap things up after this on a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Hey guys, the boss just asked when we dropped our grade school requirement for all on-air personnel.
Team that almost did not make the field of 64 has won it back-to-back.
10 days, 34 games. It is a fast mini-season. The 2008 College World Series. Again, the first pitch, Game 1, 1 o'clock Friday, June 14th.
This is Kevin Kugler. Join me for every game of the College World Series. From Omaha on ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM, where champions are crowned.
Coward here to talk about a situation I think you'll recognize. Day of the game, seven buddies, barbecue at your house, looking for a ride to the tailgate party. Thanks to the new Honda Pilot, you'll be prepared for almost anything. 8-passenger seating and increased storage capacity. You pack up the crew and go. With an available Navi system, you get to the game. And with an available top-shelf DVD rear entertainment system, you're the star of the day. The Honda Pilot is like a 5-tool baseball player with the capability to play almost every position.
Go to pilot.honda.com for more information.
Say you're looking for the perfect Father's Day gift. You could go with a beard trimmer or a tool set, but is that really a gift for the man whose mastery of the grill was second to none? Who opened your eyes to the power of duct tape? Who conserved central heating like bread in a famine and cemented his status as a guru of guidance? No, give him the new TomTom Go. With its exclusive IQ Routes technology, it's the only GPS that uses actual drive times to find you the fastest route. The perfect gift for the original maestro of the shortcut. TomTom. Go confidently.
Picture a funnel. At the top are hundreds, even thousands of people who don't even know your company's name. At the bottom are your happy customers. Marketing Firepower was developed for the small business owner and will show you how to move those people from the top of the funnel, where they know nothing about your business, to the bottom, where they are spending money with you. We offer a risk-free money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. But you do have customers to gain. Order online at marketingfirepower.net.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, a beautiful Monday outside. I can't get over the weather. Sun's shining. And hey, any sports that you want to play, you got to head to Misco Sports. They got all your bats, balls, gloves that you need. But they can also outfit you with shorts and shirts. They got Adidas and Nike shorts and t-shirts in. They have caps and visors as well. They have flip-flops from Rider, Nike, and Adidas. All that at Misco Sports. You can head down there. You can get outfitted for baseball season. You can get outfitted down the line for any other football needs, basketball needs coming up once baseball season closes out. And, of course, with the shorts, t-shirts, caps, visors, flip-flops, they got everything you need. Misco Sports, downtown Kearney.
Derek, obviously a lot of more sports went on, a lot of baseball going on. Royals continue their struggles. But interestingly enough, on Saturday, Johnny Damon, with a game-winning hit, goes 6-for-6.
Unbelievable.
What's unbelievable, he went 6-for-6, no doubt about that. But more unbelievable about it is, he is the first Yankee to do that at Yankee Stadium.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that. That's...
You think about the Yankees and the lineups they put on the field.
Wow.
No Yankee had ever done that at Yankee Stadium. Now, two Yankees, Merrill Hoag in 34 and Gerald Williams in 1996, recorded six hits during away games. And Omar Vizquel completed the task as an opponent at Yankee Stadium when he was with the Cleveland Indians in 04. Damon has jumped his average from 265 to 328. He's hit 549 in his last 12 games.
And when he was 5 for, I was listening to that game, when he was 5-for-5, the announcers, the Kansas City announcers, mentioned that this was like his 6th 5-for-5 game or something, or 6th 5-for-5 game. That's impressive in itself, too. Wow. And that's got to be some dirt in the wound, or some salt in the wound, too, the fact that he's originally a Kansas City Royal.
Yeah, one of those deals, one of those players that got away, and a lot of people expect that. Cedric Benson, when he got picked up on the boat... And
stop
he,
drinking!
Well, stop driving, you moron. What a moron. Cedric, you're not a Hall of Famer. They're not going to just... You're in fear of getting kicked off of the Chicago Bears team. They weren't all that satisfied with how your performance last year. It was almost like people had sympathy for him when he got picked up on the boat. You know, like, he'd been out four times. They picked him up four times out there. You know, did all this thing to him, almost abused him. Now all of a sudden you're going.
Yeah, this wipes all of that right off there. Now all right, of a sudden Cedric, you sound pretty guilty to me, buddy.
He didn't think he was drunk. Well, that's a great argument. How's that one going to go in court?
I didn't think I was drunk.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Derek informed me the hour is over. We hope we didn't waste any of your day. We hope we continued right in the lunch hour. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.